I'm glad you have tuned back in for today's lesson. We've got today and maybe tomorrow and maybe another day afterwards. I don't know. We'll see. I will be following the leading of the Spirit. And when I have taught all on this subject that needs to be taught, I'll stop. We're teaching from the book of Jude. I'm going to read verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write to you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write to you. The Apostle Jude tells us that when he took all diligence to write about the common salvation, it was needful. If it was common, commonly understood, and commonly received, why should he feel the need to write about it? Surely the subject has had enough written about it already. Could anyone write anything more fresh about this subject, which are so much desired by the people? Yet experience and observation prove that it is more needful to preach the common doctrines of the gospel than any other truths. It is these things which appear to be the most elementary and the most generally received. It is these things which it is most important to lay the most stress. If you would invite me to speak at your church, I would not show up with a new Bible, a new gospel, a new Savior. No sirree, Bob. I would show up with the same old Bible that was written thousands of years ago, and I would present to you the same Jesus that died more than 2,000 years ago on a hill called Calvary. I'd talk to you about the same God that created the universe before the beginning of the world. I would not talk of a new God, a new Savior, a new gospel, because, friend, there is no new gospel. There is no new God. There is but one Jesus Christ who died on Calvary for us. I would read the same words that your pastor has read week in and week out. And I would pray that God would give us some fresh insight into that old book, that God would again give us new life and fresh insight unto His will so that we may serve Him more perfectly. If there be certain high doctrines concerning the end of the world or concerning the book of Revelation, or if there be any speculations and theories and dogmas which are the outgrowths of the gospel, let them be preached in due portion. Because if you don't preach them, the danger will not be extreme. But as far as the root facts, the fundamental doctrines, the primary truths of Scripture, we must from day to day teach and preach upon them. We must never say of them, everybody knows them, for we know that everybody forgets them. We must not cease from proclaiming them for fear of being charged with redundancy. That which is revealed of the Holy Ghost should never be spoken of so reproachfully. After all, certain grand, wide, and well-known truths of universal acceptance of the Church of God is built upon these things that we call elementary. The basis on which the church is built is not difficult philosophy, but a plain revelation. Listen to what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 12. For our rejoicing in this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God. We have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly toward you. Paul was fearful that they would get away from the simplicity of the gospel. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And in Romans he says, if we are a gifted minister, that we should wait on our ministry, or he that is a teacher, to wait on his teaching, or to him that exhorts, let him do it with simplicity. This gospel is not complicated. You don't have to have a theologian with plaques on their walls from every seminary in this country to explain the Word of God to you. Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit comes, he would teach and guide you into all truth. The Apostle John says, you have the unction of the Holy One, and you need not that any man should teach you. So I tell you today, the one that can teach you into all truths, who will not teach you things that are false, anything that's not truth, because he is the Spirit of truth. Let us not strain after matters of ultra refinements, theories of cultural intellects, but let us obey the necessity which is laid upon us to write and to speak of the common salvation. The gospel message is full of worldwide truism and well-known facts. Listen to Paul. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptations, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. If it's worthy of all acceptations, it is surely worthy of all proclamation. It is worthwhile for the whole church to continually to rehearse that Jesus came to save the sinners. The common salvation should be commonly spoken of, but I fear that it is commonly neglected in these days. The immediate necessity to write of the common salvation arose out of certain men who had crept into the church unawares. Some of these attacked the gospel of its practical side. They cried up the grace of God, but said little of holy living which it produces. They make light of sin under the pretense of magnifying the grace of God. They call careful watchfulness a legal spirit. They mock self-examination and claim as children of God to be in no wise bound by the precepts of the moral law. The Apostle Jude called it turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. And then there were those who crept into the church, the evil ones, the ungodly ones, who denied the only Lord God and our Jesus Christ. They robbed Christ of his divine glory, and so denied his atonement and sovereignty, as to dethrone him from being either the Savior or the King of his church. This was the essex of some of these. They said that Jesus Christ was an admirable example, and that he was one of a number of persons who have discovered important truths, and that he is therefore to be greatly admired. But they asserted that still higher truths would be discovered. These men of thought crept into the church and stabbed at the heart of the common salvation, moving landmarks and shaking every wall and kicking at every foundation of the gospel, having crept in among us unawares. Without common honesty, they preach against the gospel from our pulpits and wage war against Zion from within her own gates. It is essential at this day that such as fear God and are His servants should again and again both write and preach concerning the common salvation, and over again rehearse the first lessons of Christ, the gospel of grace. We must make the joyful sound of the common salvation to be more common than ever. I'm going to end the lesson right here, but tomorrow I'll be back on the same subject, the common salvation, the simplicity of the Word of God, the simplicity of salvation to all people, of all nationalities, of all nations.